I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Hey, I did a gig at the Greyhounds the other night. You ever been to the Greyhounds?
Oh my God.
Grassroots sport, the guy kept saying.
I've never been to the
Grassroots sport. Solid Earth, I kept saying back to him, yeah, Solid Earth, yeah, grassroots sport. Yeah, well, it's the second time I've been because we filmed something at the Broadmeadows Greyhounds once where we saw Eric Banner's dad, Ivan, there. He loves the Greyhounds.
Oh, you filmed something for a movie?
For like a cable show or something. We were filming out there and I saw Ivan there. We had a chat to him, got him on camera, interviewed Ivan. This was for Foxtel years ago. But no, a few weeks ago I went to the Warragul Greyhounds to run their... They're having a bit of a
You can put this on your resume, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Seen at?
The Warragul Greyhounds. And it was they're doing a Calcutta, which is, it's sort of like a sweep where you get to bet on, you get to buy a dog. You don't really buy a dog, but you buy the right to bet on that dog kind of thing. Yeah. And the guy kept saying, do you know what a Calcutta is? And the more he explained it, the more confused I got.
Yeah, I know they do it in golf too, but I don't quite know what it is. But yeah, you kind of have your own betting ring.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then I had to do stand up and interview Richo, the Richmond legend.
Did you bring up the controversy?
With Richo? Oh, the Greyhounds?
Yeah. Remember that a couple of years ago where they were using live rabbits?
Yeah. No, I didn't mention that.
I would have.
I kept calling the Greyhounds horses, though, which is... I tell you what, though.
Well, not intentionally, just a bit of passive aggressive.
Yeah. They kept laughing. The people were really solid. They were great people that were there. And but the thing is, though, the thing I loved about that gig, didn't have to dress up.
Of course not.
Because, you know, when you go to racing, they're like, you got to wear a suit. If you do something for the thoroughbreds, which is like the normal horses, or even the trots.
Yeah.
You got to wear a suit or a jacket.
Yeah, take themselves a bit seriously. But the dogs?
The woman, Bernie said, she said, you wear whatever you want.
Yep.
Whatever you're comfortable in, because she said, it's the Greyhounds.
And was it the breeders or was it the GP?
It was a mixture. So there's a lot of GP there. They're trying to get more people along. And so they had a lot of general public, yeah. So they had a VIP area.
You by yourself?
Yeah.
And were there any dogs around? Did you see any dogs?
I saw some dogs, the dogs. I didn't pat any, but I saw them.
Because the greyhound is a very gentle, affectionate animal.
Yeah, they're beautiful dogs.
Because you got your greyhound. Well, you got your horse, for a start, as you said. Then you got your greyhound. Mm. Then you got your whippet. Then you got your Italian.
That's the one you're looking after. Yeah. You mentioned on the podcast.
Which can run like the wind.
Well, I was talking to one guy, and he said he owned greyhounds, and he said, he's got... three that just sit on the couch. Two that race.
They love to snuggle up and, you know.
The thing about greyhounds, though, it's accessible for anyone because, I mean, we know people that own horses. Like Mick Malloy owning horses. Mm. But you need a bit of money for that. But greyhounds, I think you just need $100.
Yeah, and need someone to walk them regularly.
Yes.
When I was going to school, that was the thing that some of the guys would do, just walk the greyhounds. Like in the castle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk the greyhounds. Like a part-time job.
Walking
the greyhounds.
Walking the greyhounds, you know. So if
whoever came up with the idea of racing greyhounds? Whoever looked at them and said, we should put them in a race? Like, why do they do that with poodles or Labradors? You know what I mean? Greyhounds, I suppose they look sleek, don't they?
What could you compete with Labradors? An eating competition?
Yeah, slobbering.
Do you know that? I'll probably mess this up, but you know the joke about when they tried to find the best dog in the world?
No.
They got a big arena and they put in the middle of the arena... They had a big pile of bones, right?
Yeah.
And a big crowd was watching. Mm-hmm. And first the Italian dog came out and it went blah, 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 and it made a perfect replica of the Sydney Harbour Bridge out of bones.
Wow.
And went, wow, that's really impressive. Then the next dog came out and that was a French dog and that went blah, 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 and it did a perfect human skeleton.
Oh, wow.
And they go, that's really impressive. That's really quite hard to do. And last up, the Australian dog.
Yeah.
And the Australian dog comes out, eats all the bones, fucks all the other dogs, and pisses off. Didn't tell it very well, but...
Oh, is that the music?
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related and Now Please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Sorry, I don't normally use the. We don't normally say fuck on this.
No, that's all right.
So if it was beeped out,
the language warning.
Yeah, that was a language. You know, we'll beep it out, I think.
I don't know if people are sitting around listening to it with the kids.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for it to be beeped out. But how could I? You have to say, yeah. You can't say, and the Australian dog had sex with the other dogs.
Yeah, rooted. Rooted.
It's an awful word, isn't it?
Rooted. Rooted.
Rooted.
A dud root. Mm. So this is our podcast. We get two topics.
Somehow related. Glenn Robbins, Dave O'Neill. And we chat. Well, I think that we investigate.
Yes.
Through conversation sometimes it's like the mirror maze. You remember the mirror maze at
Luna Park?
Yeah. And the reason it was so hard because you were. And you know, when I went to the mirror maze, it really annoyed me.
Why?
The trick to it, they on the one that was the door out, they put staff only. That was the trick. Yeah. You go, that's not a real mirror
maze.
That's
not fair.
That's not
the mirror maze. Do you remember the Mirror Man?
No.
Ooh. The song by Human League. Here comes the Mirror Man. Anyway. Oh,
that's right, because you've been on Spicks and Spicks
54 times now. 54,
it was 53, but it went up with the
reunion.
50, 54 times.
Hoping for more shows this year.
Oh, really?
Well, I hope so.
What's his name? Buckleg's going to come back to do it?
Adam Hills.
I couldn't remember.
Well, you think about it. He's doing his show in England, The Last Leg, but then he must get a big break. They don't do that all year, do they? They do a run of 20 or something like that. And then he's got, you know, he's married to a girl from Geelong.
It's a very good show.
It's a good show. And they've got little kids. So, of course, he wants to come back and see his mum and her parents. Yeah. So,
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And Dave O'Neill. Now what we do is Sam.
Hello.
Gives us the topics and
and we've got to say that this one's actually from Simon Lindsay, who
thanks, Simon.
Emailed our producer. So thanks, Simon. Give us those topics.
Major League Baseball player Babe Ruth and cabbage.
Oh, well, I don't know much about Babe Ruth, but I know a lot about cabbages.
Really?
I love cabbages.
You want to start? Let's start with the cabbages then.
I think cabbage gets a bad rap. You know, they're like the ugly.
Well, isn't it not one of the oldest vegetables in the world? Not that.
Probably.
I think
it's like this, you know, when you grew up, there was a one house where there was a kid that always got picked on, normally because they were poor, and there was like a stinky house, you know. The cabbages are like that. They're like the bad vegetable, I reckon. They always get a bad rap.
The cheap end of
smell.
Town.
The cheap, yeah.
Yeah. And they do, well, let's be honest.
Smell.
They cause flat
children.
But
if you have a dim sim or a Chico roll, that's cabbage. There's a lot of cabbage.
That's why I can't eat those either.
Is this on your food map?
My flop. My flop.
I want to get a food map.
Yeah, well, you got to do it. You just got to get things out.
Yeah, and you know what they'll say to me? No bread, no dairy, no sugar.
All the good things will go.
Yeah, well, that's not good.
But I can't eat anything white, so cabbage is off.
You can get red cabbage. Ah.
It's got a bit of white in it.
Yeah, but not a lot. Red cabbage is beautiful. You know what I cook for the first time? Because I use cabbage in coleslaw a lot. So I just make coleslaw, which is raw cabbage.
You make your own coleslaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very easy thing to buy, but you're making your own.
Yeah,
cabbage,
carrot,
celery,
special ingredient, apple.
Oh,
Put that in light.
And mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah, and vinegar.
I reckon if you turned up with that. What about egg?
No, not the one I make. No, capsicum, you can put a bit of capsicum if you want. Yeah, spring onion if you really want.
If you turned up to the barbecue, you came around the corner with that, I'd be onto that.
Bit of raw salad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I've never. I occasionally have cooked cabbage in kai si min. You know, your mum used to make kai si min?
Huh. Kai si min.
It's like a suburban chow min.
It's one of the greatest things my mother ever served. My brother's kids kind of foodies, and they sort of
turned their nose up at it.
Oh, and then they tried it and went, this is all right. Because it's meat and rice and
curry powder.
So it's, in other words, it's a what do you call it?
Mince meat.
Pheasant?
A peasant pheasant meal.
Pheasant food.
Pheasant food, yeah, the pheasants love it.
But it's because you can make a lot of it cheaply.
Yeah, my mum, it was a very 70s suburban.
Oh, and a bit of curry powder?
Curry powder. In the old days, chicken noodle soup is what mum would put in it too.
So do you make it for your kids? Your kids would be pretty food-wise.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
They love it?
Yeah. It's a good one.
And it doesn't cause them any
flatulence? Oh, I don't know. I'm not at school. I don't hear the rumblings. But so anyway, I put cabbage in that. But you know what I did the other day? My partner bought too many cabbages.
Cabbage soup?
No, I fried cabbage with some garlic and butter and some vinegar and carrot and apple.
You made this up?
Oh, it's beautiful.
You made it up?
No, I followed a bit of a recipe. But to get that, it's like sauerkraut. You have hot red cabbage, man. It was like, I used to get it in restaurants and just go, you know, when you get stuff in restaurants, you go, I could never do this. This is amazing. Have some more
and
cabbage.
Then you have it,
Then you cook it at home. You're like, I've been doing this for years.
What's, so you're talking, what is kombucha? Is that cabbage? Is that cabbage?
Kombucha?
Yeah.
No, no, kombucha's a drink. That's yeah, a but fermented the, but soft
how,
drink.
But how do they ferment it? What's it ferment? I don't know. Sam, what is kombucha made from? I could be completely up the wrong tree here, but I reckon it's something
like. Might be cabbage.
There's a big trend.
You get jars of fermented vegetables now in health food shops and stuff. And if you go to a cafe near you, they'll have you know that those bowls with fermented vegetables in them, which is cabbage.
Because what's apple cider vinegar? That's
well, that's apple, like apple cider.
It's gone off.
Kombucha's not cabbage, is it?
Kombucha is a fermented, slightly alcoholic, lightly effervescent, sweetened black or green tea drink.
I don't like kombucha.
I don't mind it, but it's, you know, because it's.
I love fizzy drinks, but nah.
With introducing things into your gut that your gut goes, you know, because you've only got 2 trillion in there, so you want another 500 billion from the kombucha.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like you're getting into the trillions.
What do you mean trillions?
Of, you know, anti-toxic
okay.
things that, you know, good yeah. to have when you have cabbage.
Sure.
It's
sure.
the byproduct of, well, whatever kombucha. Well, it's something vegetable. I don't reckon Sam's investigated
Come
that
on,
enough.
Sam,
I don't think you've dug deep enough. It can't be a chemical thing. It's got to be something.
No, it's yeast. It's yeast, isn't yeah, it? It's like a
yeast,
beer.
Yeast and water. People have been yelling at the podcast now because everybody knows.
Kombucha.
Everyone knows.
Kombucha.
Okay, so.
Okay, Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
Or do you want to say anything more about cabbages?
No. I just don't.
You don't eat it a lot.
Well, I don't. I love, what are the cabbage rolls?
Oh, yeah, you're nice.
What's that, is that, what nationality is that?
Chinese, Vietnamese, some Asian, I'd say. Oh, no, it's not. It's like Russian or Polish. I think I'm off the wrong. Can we ask Sam? Sam.
No, she's not. I've been rude to Sam.
Yeah, cabbage rolls. I think they might be Russian. It seems Russian to me. Where is a cabbage roll from?
The cabbage is like, they could have that on that flag because cabbage seems to me like
it's very Russian. Yeah.
It's just very.
Well, maybe it's Czechoslovakian or Hungarian or Ukrainian. We'll cover everything off. But when I think of Russian cabbage rolls, I think Polish or Russian.
Mm.
Not ever been to any of those countries. My dad went to Russia. Mum and dad went to Russia. And dad said everyone was angry and poor. So that was Kev's 2 words to sum up. You know when parents go to a country and they sum it up by 2 words? I go, what was Russia like, Dad? Angry and poor.
Yeah, well.
What was Italy like? Crowded.
I live in a Bayside suburb called Hampton, and someone said to me the other day, oh, Labradors and prams.
Is it a lot of prams in Hampton? A
lot of prams.
Yeah.
A lot of Labradors. A lot of everyone's got a dog. Everyone goes down the back. Everyone's got a doodle.
Oh, yeah.
Got some sort of short hair, no non-hair dropping doodle.
I'd say we'll win with grey bobs and wide brim hats, wouldn't it be, like in Hampton? No?
Yeah. And then vitamins. You can sum up vitamins in 2 words.
Yeah.
Expensive urine.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cabbage rolls.
Cabbage rolls most likely originated in Poland.
Thanks, we'll go Sam. With Polish.
I take it back, Sam. Whatever.
Come across Europe.
You know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Babe Ruth.
Baseball. Bang.
Yeah, I don't know much about baseball.
Baseball. He was the Don Bradman of baseball in the, I reckon, the 1900s to 20s maybe. Maybe later, I don't know. And he was a batter and a pitcher.
Oh, he was a pitcher as well?
Yeah, I think he was an all-rounder. So he could turn his ball to anything, so to speak. So did you play rounders at school?
Yeah, we played softball too. They still play rounders at school. They don't seem to play softball. They play something else called T-ball, which is similar.
Which is where you put the ball on the end of a thing and then you give it a whack. Everyone gets a go.
Everyone gets a go.
Yeah.
That's how schools work these days. But I was the captain of the B softball team in grade 6. So I got a bit of a history with softball. But softball was just a bigger, softer ball, wasn't it, than a baseball?
And then they would all. I've never understood. Do they, when you hit a ball, like you hit it in cricket.
Yeah.
Is it going any harder than a cricket ball would? I don't think so.
Oh, yes. Baseball, no.
No.
Then again, you're hitting it from a standing, like a standing, whereas cricket's sort of.
Sam, how hard does a baseball pitcher throw a ball? I reckon it'd be hundreds of kilometres.
It'd be similar to cricket.
It'd be 150 kilometres per hour.
Didn't you go in the nets against Shane Warne once?
Yes, I did.
You went around to his house?
No, I didn't go around to his house. But I said to him, because he had a year off.
Yeah.
And
you offered to train him?
Well, he because he took a direct
A director, his mum told him to do it. Mum said.
And it was just a genuine mistake, but they said, yeah. You're done, you've got a year off. Mm. And then I said to him, look, while you're coming back, because you couldn't play any form of cricket. So I said, I'm happy to roll up and let me
help
bowl.
You out.
Yeah. Amazing. Incredible.
So you had to put the pads on and stand.
Put the pad on, go into the nets at the Victorian.
And isn't he like really, he's one of the fastest in the world.
No, not fast. He's a wrist spinner.
Right.
And he can bowl anything from, he's got about, I don't know, must have about a dozen different deliveries that he can do. But here's the interesting thing. When he bowls at you, when the ball's about a metre away, you can hear it in the air going.
Oh, really?
It's spinning so fast. And you start laughing because the ball, when it hits the ground, can do anything from jump up, go low, go left, go right. Because he was bowling on like mats inside, the ball was gripping even more. And it was ridiculous how far he would spin.
Were you scared?
No.
I would have been so scared.
A couple of times I hit it and he went, shot. Shot. We did a thing where we pretend. I said, I'm batting for Australia and it's the Ashes and I've got to make 3 runs off your over. Let's see if I can do it. And I did it.
He let you do it. Okay, Sam's got the answer.
At 169 kilometres an hour, the fastest baseball pitch is only a few kilometres an hour more than the fastest cricket delivery, which was 161 kilometres an hour. On average, the delivery speeds are fairly similar despite the vast differences in action.
Well, there we go.
So they're round about the same. So think about cricketers, right? They're fielding in really close. Mm. They're bowling really fast. They're hitting really hard with a wider bat. No gloves except for the keeper. You're on a baseball field. You've got this big, huge left hand. Like it's like something out of a cartoon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's like it's.
Have you been to a baseball match in America?
Yeah, we went to the Yankee Stadium.
Oh wow! What was that
like? And a kiss cam and all.
Is it good?
It was good. It was really good.
I want to go.
And they keep, because it can be slightly slow. They keep it interesting with music and. And
was that the one that Kevin Costner built in the field? Was that that one?
Build it and they will come?
Yeah, build them and they will come. Then just creep from a wrong thing, ghosts turn up and play. It's a tripped out movie, that movie.
He chopped down some, like a...
corn.
Yeah.
Corn.
And then he put a field in and then...
Ghosts turned up.
I forget what it was about. Anyway, I just find that interesting that... And I wonder about cabbage in relation to that. That's
and
all
baseball.
I'm saying. And baseball mitts. That's what I'm. This is
very baseball mitts.
It's like the shape.
Maybe Babe Ruth was the first one to. He used to hold up a cabbage.
Well, you know what they.
Maybe.
Hey, babe. It's like when. What's his name? Rob DiCostella. Yeah. Ran in the marathon.
Yeah.
And he had diarrhea. And he. Maybe you know the story? Faster?
No.
Had diarrhea, and because he wasn't well, so every time you go past the. The drink station, he'd grab the sponges everyone was putting on their head and he'd rub the shit off the back of his legs because it was dribbling down. And everyone's looking at it going, oh, that's the key. What you do is you cool your hamstrings. They misconstrued him wiping shit off his legs as to cooling down.
Did he win?
Well, I think he did. And then everyone started copying him. Everyone started to think, I'm going to rub sponges on my hamstrings and I'll be like Rob DiCostella.
Babe Ruth.
Because I know that I think whether with baseball or maybe with cricket, keepers will sometimes or haven't been known to put a stake in their gloves.
Yep.
To soften the blow.
Yeah, because it'll come pretty quick.
Yeah. But anyway.
I could have been a good wicket keeper.
Really? You've got to squat down all day. Yeah, what is
when
it?
I do. Well, I know. I just say I make a good. I always, when I do a career club, I always pick up the fat guy and go, you be the wicket keeper. Like, yeah. When you think about it, like Booney was a wicket keeper, wasn't he?
No, he was an opening bat. No, I opened the batting with Booney.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Bloody, have you been in the Olympics or what?
I played in a charity cricket match at the MCG and I got to open the batting with Booney.
Wow.
And I was caught out. By Pat Rafter in first slip after the third ball. Did I ever tell you about the time? How's this? I played in a charity cricket match for Variety, right? And I opened the bowling. I was coming into bowl. Darren Hinch was facing. Tony Barber was at the other end.
Tony Barber?
Tony Barber was at the other end. and Kamal was keeping.
Seriously. So you can't make that up.
No, you can't. It's like a dream you have after pizza. And as I came into bowl, I beat Hinchy outside the off stump, and then I hear Kamal going, "Bowling, Glenn. Good bowling, Glenn. Keep it going, Glenn."
What about the one where you did it and you got on the minibus with them and one of them drove the minibus?
Yeah, now that was when I went to see Australia because Warnie invited me back in the rooms. And this was back in the Steve Waugh era. And I reckon there would have been 80,000 people there. So I'm going, this is rock and roll. This is big. They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So back, going into the rooms, it must be full on. And it wasn't really. It's just a bunch of blokes sitting around having a beer and a smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, really? That's all it is? And then they go, do you want to come back and have a drink at the back of the hotel? I said, sure. So we all – and I'm thinking that they would have people to help them. They all carried their own gear.
Mm.
And then I'm thinking, well, how would they get back? Surely they've got
a driver.
Surely they've got a number of cars or drivers or whatever. All in a minibus, kind of like you would see elderly home.
And who drove the minibus?
Well, I sat in the back. Anyway, yeah, so Booney was driving. Are you ready? Beep, beep, here we go.
That's great. Yeah. I only went to the cricket. I went with Dicko once to one of those 2020 matches. And then we went down to the rooms because Dicko's a big cricket tragic.
Yeah.
And we hung out with Gilly, Gilchrist.
Oh, he's a lovely guy.
And I tell you what, there was a kid down there who was like disabled. Mm. It was a big cricket thing. And Gilly just gave him all of his kit. I said, you can have this, mate. Gave him his bat, everything. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, so I asked for some. I got nothing. Anyway, what's the connection?
So what do we need? Some thinking music. That music we sang before.
Where's that town we did a gig above Coffs Harbour? There's a statue of Gilly in the park because he's from there. Remember that statue? And I made jokes about it and everyone booed me. There's a statue of like Gilly, and it's at like waist height.
Was that little gig that?
It was great in the pub up in the above Coffs Harbour.
It was hard. You did well. I worked hard with those people.
Oh though. Yeah, you were emceeing.
Yeah, and we had that girl from Byron Bay,
Mandy Nolan.
Yeah, Mandy
Nolan.
Yeah,
it was a great. Yeah. But there was a Gilly's from that town, up on the New South Wales coast, and there's a little statue of him in the park, and I made jokes about bristling my beer on his head or something, and
they didn't like it.
Oh, no.
What's the small town he's from? It's a pretty small town.
There was and the guy sitting down the front worked at Centrelink, and I said, look behind you. How many of these people do you recognise? He goes, quite a few. What's it called? What's Gilly's hometown? Where was Gilchrist born?
Bellingen, New South Wales, population 3,074, according to the 2016 census.
Bellingen.
And I bet you they had a good bakery there.
Yeah. Oof.
Always have a good bakery place like that.
The baseball theme. Here we go.
Here we go. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, Babe Ruth and cabbages. I don't know. Did you want to have a crack of what the connection is?
Yeah, I'm going to say something along the lines of that he – because, you're in the field a lot. You probably get a bit hot. That he put cabbage leaves into his glove.
The glove fits.
To maybe give him some sort of protection. Something that helps him putting the glove on and off.
I'm going to suggest that Babe Ruth was a person who brought cabbages into America. He made them not sexy, but he was the face of cabbage.
Back in the day when you could get a gig like that.
Yeah, the face of cabbage.
Babe Ruth wore a cabbage leaf under his baseball cap to keep him cool and changed it every two innings.
Well, Glenn, you were kind of right.
Yeah, same idea. But that's got to be a bad look.
Cabbage leaf under your hat.
Hey, because normally when someone doesn't like take a good catch or something, You rub them on the top of the head. Imagine if
his hair would smell.
Did you know there was a cricketer, I can't remember his name, but he used to wear a wig and then they would rub his head and his wig would fall off? And you could tell it was a wig. And then they would actually do it because they wanted his wig to lift up.
Anyway, funny.
So Babe Ruth got a cabbage leaf under the hat to keep cool.
Incredible.
Oh, you'd stink a bit. So surely you'd go, hey, Babe, nice batting. But you do stink.
And who got the lease from him? Is that his wife's job? Surely back in those days, he wouldn't be going to the fruit shop himself because he was like very famous. Sweetheart, you get those cabbages? I've got two games on the weekend. Yeah, I've got the cabbages.
Let's go through the famous bag of Babe Ruth. What's he got in there? He's got baseball. He's got Mets. He's got cabbage.
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 You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Tell you what, it's hot now. I could do with the cabbage on my head.
You know, in the States, what a cool thing to do, right. Celebrities do. Because a very cool thing to do if you go to the baseball is to be in the outfield, or be in the stand near the outfield, not behind the...
Oh.
What do they call that? The box, the pit?
Yeah, the box seats or whatever.
Yeah, where you spit.
Yeah, right.
They will buy all the tickets for a whole stand and then sit in the middle of the stand trying to catch a ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
By themselves?
Well, they'll take a couple of mates.
Your friends.
I mean, seriously? Seriously?
We should do that at the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah. Huh?
We buy all the tickets behind the goal square, stuff the cheer squads, just me and you.
That's Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Imagine how angry people would be at you. the real fans aren't here.
Imagine that, Dave. You bought it and then they don't hit a home run. Yeah. Or they hit a home run and it goes over to the next stand.
Tell you what, I was at a test cricket match the other day. You could do it there. There's no one there. Sheffield Shield in Adelaide, I was there. Doing a gig in the stadium at the same time. You could have easily got any seat you wanted.
Because it would be good to do it, but it would hurt if you were hit in the head, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, cricket balls hurt.
That was one of the it was one of the great sketches that I wrote for Fast Forward.
We can do it now. We'll go film it on YouTube.
Can I tell it now?
Yeah, go on.
So it was a golf one.
Yeah.
And it was Greg Norman now, heads off, and oh, he's hooked that. Oh, it's going into the crowd. That's not good. Oh, it's hit someone. It's hit him right in the head, Bob. That's not good. He's gone down. Okay, let's go across now to Ballesteros as he's on the 15th. He hits that. Oh, he's hooked that as well. That's going towards the crowd. It's hit him. Hit someone. Oh, same guy. Bam.
That's funny.
Bam, straight in the head. He was just getting himself up, Bob, and bang, got hit in the head twice.
It's like lightning strikes twice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Do you know that story? Oh, no, you got what we're going to say?
No.
Where the guy says, the lightning strikes and hits the tree.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, no, hang on, lightning strikes. Oh, I'm buggered it up.
You know where most men get struck by lightning? On golf courses.
Yeah.
Because they're holding a metal rod.
And I think the story is it never strikes twice in the same spot. So you stand on the spot. That's right.
Oh, really?
And then it struck the tree next to him and broke the tree and the tree fell on him and killed him.
Well, that's like a myth. That really happened?
No, I'm just coming up with stories. I mean, it's off the track a little bit, but anyway. So there you have it. Babe Ruth got a cabbage in his hat and he was a legend. And because you know that story.
Mm.
It's a story about, I'll finish with this, where a friend of mine went on tour he was a famous cricketer. I won't say who, and you share rooms. And this cricketer used to like to sleep with his bat every night.
Really?
Yeah, for good luck.
That's cute.
So while he was asleep, they took his bat out and sticky taped it to the ceiling, right? And he woke up in the morning going, oh, you assholes. Now you've changed my good luck.
Yeah, my feng shui.
Yeah, my feng shui. And you're bugging me up. Anyway, so that day he goes out and he makes 100.
Oh.
So every time he stayed in a hotel room from that time on, he had to sticky tape it to the ceiling.
I can put some Brussels sprouts in my undies now. I'm hot. Good one.
Sorry, got a bit off track there with the